It's July in San Francisco. I'm wearing a beanie, a scarf, and a parka, braving the elements as I walk down Divisadero Street on my way to work. I'm here for the summer at the University of San Francisco. It's like deja vu. Nearly a quarter of a century ago, I walked down this same street, but my life was completely different. Back then, I was a newbie investment banker, flying in from the East Coast to meet our private wealth bankers in San Francisco. My job was to buy municipal bonds to help the tech bankers offer tax-exempt investments to shield the wealth of dot-com founders, who in those days were just mere multimillionaires. But this time in 2023, I'm not here as a banker looking for tax shelters. I'm an ethicist and a podcast host, looking to understand more about the implications of the next big tech revolution the whole planet is talking about, artificial intelligence. What's AI? It's the technology that makes it possible for machines to learn from experience, to perform human-like tasks, a game changer for all of us. As a Gen Xer, I'm old enough to remember when Al Gore said this.
I took the initiative in creating the internet.
And old enough to have had an AOL email address. I was Ms. Bondwiz, by the way.
You've got mail.
I come from a time when it was unthinkable to bank without a teller and to buy clothes without first trying them on. But then came Laserdiscs. Anyone else remember those? Then CDs and MP3 players. I was hooked as soon as Pandora helped me build an 80s playlist. Now I have Spotify, which always seems to know the songs that put me in a good mood. But I'll admit, the algorithm does kind of freak me out, probably because I don't understand how it works. And I'll admit that Alexa and I are not really on speaking terms. That's all to say, I do understand people's apprehension and fear of what AI has brought and will bring. We begin this season by going from a virtual reality to real life. This episode is all about life in the hometown of tech. Because, after all, who makes the tech? Humans. Let's meet some San Franciscans who can tell us a bit about this next tech boom and help us reflect on that quintessential question, what does it profit? The first time I went to San Francisco, the city was in the midst of its first dot-com boom.
What is internet anyway?
Internet is that massive computer network, the one that's becoming really big now.
Back then, Netscape was the top dog of the internet. Google was in its infancy, and Mark Zuckerberg was still in grade school. This time around, I booked a stay at an Airbnb and connected with my host through an app to figure out how to unlock the gate. I saw self-driving cars on the streets. One of them even almost ran over Luke, one of our assistant producers. San Francisco is used to being technology's guinea pig, even if Luke and I aren't. The city's boom-bust economic cycle spins on in a way that's almost hypnotizing. San Francisco is still cause for rhapsody. Those who know the city love it, and with cause. But for many, it's becoming more difficult to stay.
Well, I left my heart.
My first morning in San Francisco, I went down the block for breakfast at Eddie's Diner. I sat at the counter next to another solo diner who saw me futzing with Google Maps on my phone. He turned out to be a millennial tech worker from Israel who had moved to the city for its progressive values and a dream job, one he admitted might one day be replaced by AI. By the end of breakfast, he invited me to tour his employer's headquarters, a major tech company, with the proviso that I sign a non-disclosure agreement. The more people I encountered walking around San Francisco, the more I realized even the traditional tech companies are afraid of the impacts of AI. This isn't a new fear. For decades, people have been arguing that AI will destroy humanity. Think Skynet from Terminator. These kinds of worries used to seem like Hollywood fiction or way off in the future. But in the past few years, things have changed. We've seen major advances in what AI can do. More recently, fears have been fueled by OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT.
The current systems are still weak relative to what we expect to create. And so putting these systems out now, while the stakes are fairly low, learning as much as we can, I think is how we avoid the more dangerous scenarios.
At a human level, what we have is an existential question. People are uncertain about whether they'll be replaced by technology. At a community level, it's a whole nother thing. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, San Francisco relied on the economic activity of tech workers in a common location. COVID was the warm-up. Then came AI. But in San Francisco, AI may be the city's best hope, or worst nightmare. OpenAI brought a wave of other artificial intelligence companies, with investors pouring billions into the sector to fuel another startup boom in the city. Some people are hoping the rapid growth of AI businesses will help revive the city's economy.
This is where the innovation is. By being in San Francisco, by being in the Bay Area, we really get to support the innovation ecosystem as it's all happening.
Others worry a single sector economic revival in technology could exacerbate the city's disparities. This worry crossed my mind when I went to buy groceries in my Alamo Square neighborhood. $12 for a dozen eggs. I couldn't believe it. That's when I met Edvard. Not Edward, as he liked to point out. He was sitting on a milk crate out in front of the store. He took one look at my face and could see that I was baffled and didn't bother asking me for change. In that moment, I had solidarity. He invited me to pull up a crate and have a chat. Turns out that Edvard is 70 years old and was born and raised in this neighborhood. In all those years, a lot of things have changed. But what seemed consistent was Edvard's positive attitude.
I don't let nothing make me mad.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, like I was taught, something make you mad, you think of something else. But when you get upset, that's when bad things happen.
Yeah.
You got to think positive, not negative.
Okay, that's good advice for all of us.
Edvard hadn't always lived on the street. He talked about better times. And he told me about Sundays past, about the fiery and long sermons at Third Baptist. That's where I met Reverend Amos Brown at Sunday school. We've stayed in touch since I've been back home in D.C. During a call with him, I was curious what he thought about AI's impact on San Francisco.
If we are not balancing this thing, making sure that we carry along with scientific discovery, a discovery of what it means to be human, to value integrity, honesty, liberty, and justice for all, and all means all.
Reverend Brown has been the pastor of San Francisco's Third Baptist Church since 1976 and has been a civil rights and economic justice champion all his life. Over the decades, Reverend Brown has seen the many ways the tech industry has shaped the city, and he hopes people keep this in mind.
The question is, not whether or not technology is good or bad, it is neutral. The question is, what are you doing with the technology?
AI's evangelists promised to save San Francisco. The city is, after all, the AI capital of the world. Just listen to the city's mayor, London Breed.
The 20 largest companies in the world, 13 are in the Bay Area and 8 are in San Francisco.
Why do you think they're here?
because this is where the talent is.
Mayor Breed suggested the city tear down its empty downtown retail space to build new structures. That includes replacing Westfield Mall with a soccer stadium.
So now you can convert some office to housing a lot easier. You can convert certain spaces, like a Westfield Mall could become, you know, something completely different than what it currently is. It could be a place where we can even tear down the whole building and build a whole new soccer stadium.
Breed and other city leaders are under pressure to find solutions post-pandemic, and they're hanging their hopes on AI companies filling the empty spaces to help the city's economy. Outside the city's downtown, AI companies are driving demand for commercial real estate in smaller buildings where companies have more control over security.
They've looked at areas outside of the core, such as south of Market and down toward Mission Bay and Potrero Hill and Dog Patch, you know, these neighborhoods where a lot of tech companies began in San Francisco.
That's Robert Sammons, Senior Director of Research for Cushman & Wakefield, one of San Francisco's leading commercial real estate brokerage firms.
AI is a bit old school that way. They like being a little bit off the grid. They want to be in the city, but they don't necessarily want to be in the core.
San Francisco's downtown is suffering from what's been labeled a doom loop. The area's downward economic and social spiral has become a catch-all term for the city's problems. But tourists are returning, and AI companies are signing leases. Nevertheless, I saw some of these doom-looping tourists in the Tenderloin. They were recording people there, people on the margins, whose lives are lived out on the street. This was one of the worst things I've ever seen. People seeking entertainment off the suffering of others. The Tenderloin has always been a rough part of town. It's also been a place of hope and community. In the 1980s, neighborhood activists pushed through historic policies to fight gentrification and keep rent prices affordable. Let's not forget that San Francisco itself was named after a disruptor from the Middle Ages, a man history knows as Saint Francis of Assisi, whose many legacies is the understanding that poverty is what binds all of us, a poverty of spirit that reminds us that we are all interconnected. Faithful Fools is a community organization that was founded in the Tenderloin in those early dot-com days. Their philosophy is simple. On the streets, we discover our common humanity.
We founded it as an educational and charitable organization with a real focus on an attitude of learning, as we were speaking before, to really shift the conversation and the focus around poverty, homelessness, the attitude towards a community like the Tenderloin.
That's Carmen Barsotti. She's a Franciscan sister. In 2000, she and co-founder Kay Jorgensen moved into the Faithful Fools' unmistakable purple building just down the block from the intersection of Turk and Hyde, which in those days was known as the place to buy black tar heroin.
It's the most diverse area of the city. And when we moved in here, there were 4,500 children living in the Tenderloin. Now there's about 3,500, they say, as families have been forced out. So it's a very mixed community, racially, economically. There are small businesses. It's the densest area for supportive housing. And it's a dense but strongly identified community. The people that have lived here for years really have a sense of a community.
Leia Laxmana, co-director of Faithful Fools, was a tech employee in San Francisco. She found out about the organization through her work doing community outreach.
But I also had to straddle very different worlds. That was in 2014 when I joined the company and I was introduced to the Faithful Fools. And I've always worked in philanthropy and eventually moved here because part of what's been missing or what I needed the most is the proximity. I still don't know much, but I've learned a lot. And I think a lot of the learning comes with being with people, not just reading about it, hearing about it.
For Leia, San Francisco is home through good times and bad.
I'm clinging on as much as I can. Hopefully, I don't become displaced myself. But this is especially having gotten to know the Tenderloin and the community, the different communities I've built over the years. Like, this is what home feels like. This is what a community feels like. And this is what it's like to be invested in something and in people. And I'd want to see how hopefully we turn a corner by loving it and doing what's needed.
The tech industry continues to expand across San Francisco. And wherever these AI startups decide to call home, they have an impact on the people, the communities that are already there. So, what destiny will AI script for San Francisco? Let's ask.
San Francisco is heading towards a brave new future. Once bustling with tourists and tech workers, the city has experienced an apocalyptic shift in recent years as its foundations are tested by new economic realities. Despite the challenges ahead, San Franciscans remain optimistic about their beloved city's ability to innovate and thrive for generations to come.
While embedded in San Francisco this summer, two things struck me. First, it's a time of tremendous change, and with change comes fear. Fear on a personal level and fear on a community level. But more important than fear, I sensed a tremendous heart. From the optimistic attitude of my new friends, Edvard and the pioneering tech adventurer from Israel, to the religious and community activists who hold a steadfast belief in the dignity of every human being, whether their bank account holds billions or nothing at all. And to even some of the tech titans who push the city to be a better version of itself. Truth is, it's time to rewrite the code. And nowadays, that code, it's open source. Let's all contribute. What Does It Profit is a production of the Solidarity Economy Workshop at Georgetown University. The show is hosted by me, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. Jordan Gasparre is our senior producer. Our engineer and designer is Mark Bush. Special thanks to our assistant producers, Luke McFadden and Sunana Sunda. And of course, our intern, Abby Trepas. Music for What Does It Profit was composed by Nick Pennington. Support for What Does It Profit is provided by the Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor and the Capital Applied Learning Lab at Georgetown University. Additional support provided by the Joan and Ralph Lane Center for Catholic Social Thought and Ignatian Tradition at the University of San Francisco. You can learn more at whatdoesitprofitpodcast.com.